As a young man, the Baal HaTanya was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mezritch. And there's a maisa that they tell from that time period that the Maggid had a Baal Koreh who was known to be this unbelievable Baal Koreh. Amazing Torah reader. Every week he would read. Amazing. Whatever kavanos he was putting into it, people were very impressed. And at some point the Baal Koreh left, and the Maggid of Mezritch, the second leader of the Hasidic world, decided I need to find a new Baal Koreh. And the word on the street was that the Baal HaTanya, who was one of the youngest of the Talmidim of the Maggid, the word on the street was he's a good Baal Koreh. So the Maggid invited the Baal HaTanya for an interview. Ahavda. An interview to see if he could be the Baal Koreh of the Maggid of Mezritch. So he said to the Baal HaTanya, he said, do you know, when you read the Torah, do you understand how the Parsha connects to the week? That when you read the Parsha, you see what's going to happen in the week ahead? Sure. Yeah, can do that. So he says, do you understand how each aliyah corresponds to a different day in the week? So when you read the first aliyah, do you understand how that's connected to what happens on Sunday? How the second aliyah connects to Yom Sheni? He said, yeah, I can do that also. So he asked the Baal HaTanya, the third and final question of the interview. I heard this story many, many years ago from Rav Moshe Wolfson. He said, when someone gets called up for an aliyah, do you see how that particular aliyah is connected to that person's neshama? And what's going to happen to them over the course of that week? And the Baal HaTanya says, yeah, I know how to do that. So he said, fine, then you could be the Baal Koreh. If you understand that much about the Parsha, then you could be the Baal Koreh. Tzaddikim tell us that whatever's happening in the Parsha has a lot to do with what's happening in the week. Which means if we're reading Parsha Tetzaveh this Shabbos, we need to try to understand how Parsha Tetzaveh prepares us in a very, very deep and very precise way for the Yom Tov of Purim. What's the secret in Parsha Tetzaveh that gets us ready for the Yom Tov of Purim? The Shla Kadosh, the Holy Shla, the Shnei Luchos Abris, the Heilige Shla, tells us that the Parsha is always connected to the Yom Tov. So for example, the Shla says, the Parshas that fall out around Hanukkah time, which deal with the story of Yosef and the brothers, and Befrat, the story of Yosef, has a lot to do with Hanukkah. The Shla emphasizes it over there in his writings by the Parshios of Hanukkah. Again, Vayeshev and Miketz and Vayigash. But it's true about all of the Parshios. Which means if Purim begins this year, Shabbos is going to give energy to the whole week. That means Purim is somehow going to be rooted in a very, very deep way in Parshas Tetzaveh. And the question is, where in Parshas Tetzaveh do we find the secret of Purim? So Vina Hafachu, we know everything about Purim is backwards, so we're going to start from the end of the Parsha. We'll go to the very last Pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh. I would say it's the last Pasuk we're going to read this Shabbos. Not really, because we're going to read Parshas Zachor, but the last Pasuk in the Parsha. The note that signs off Shabbos, leading us into the Yom Tov of Purim. Let's take a look at the last pasuk. V'chiper Aharon al Karnosav achas b'shana midam chatas hakipurim. Perek Lamed. We're going to talk about the last topic in the parsha, which is the Mizbeach HaKetores. But the very last pasuk talks about what the Mizbeach HaKetores is used for. V'chiper Aharon al Karnosav. Aharon will affect kapara through the corners of the Mizbeach, achas b'shana, midam chatas hakipurim, by sprinkling the blood of the Yom Kippur chatas, achas b'shana, again, the second time, achas b'shana yechaper alav l'dor seichem, kodesh kodeshim hu l'Hashem. And the question that's raised by many is, what's this achas b'shana, achas b'shana? V'chiper aron al karnos of achas b'shana, and then again, achas b'shana yechaper alav l'dor seichem. It'll bring kapara for all generations. We don't have Mizbeach is not as that. What's the kapara, the achas b'shana for all generations? I'm sure most of us have heard that there's a very strong and deep and intimate link between Purim and Yom HaKippurim. The Tikkun Zohar says that Purim is called Purim al Shem Yom HaKippurim. In truth, the Tzaddikim explain that Yom Kippur is less than Purim. It's Yom Kippur. It's a day like Purim. It wants to be Purim. It wishes it could be Purim. So the Tzaddikim look at this last pasuk, which is actually talking about Yom HaKippurim. And the tzaddikim say, if you look at the pasuk carefully, it's achas b'shana, achas b'shana. We have two achas b'shanas. We have 2 days in the calendar year that are entirely unique. What are those 2 days? Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, and then Purim itself. Achas b'shana, achas b'shana. Achas b'shana, 1 day of the year, midam chatas hakipurim, you bring kapara through the sprinkling of the blood, that's Yom Kippur. But then the pasuk says, achas b'shana, a second time, achas b'shana, yechaper alav l'dor seichem. There will be kapara. It doesn't say how you get the kapara. Kodesh kadashim hu l'Hashem. And the tzaddikim explain The Rebbe of Jikov, the Imre Noam, explains in his writings on Parshas Zachor that there's two achas b'shanas. There's an achas b'shana which brings about kapara through the sprinkling of the blood, that's Yom Kippur. But then there's another achas b'shana where it just says, kapara l'dor seichem, automatic kapara for all generations. What's that talking about? It's talking about Pur. The Rizhin, or Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, one of the great tzaddikim, used to explain that while the Gemara has a machlokas about Yom Kippur, whether the day brings about kapara even without tshuva, and if you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, really we paskin, you have to do tshuva to be zocha, to receive the hashba of Yom Kippur, to get the cleansing of Yom Kippur. We paskin, you need to do tshuva. But the Rishon said, on Purim, Yom Kippur, you have to do tshuva. But Purim, itzumo shel yom mechaper. The day itself is mechaper. There's something built into Purim that automatically brings kapara for a Jew. There's a certain belief in ourselves that emerges on Purim that's not even true about us on Yom Kippur. There's a certain confidence that we have on Purim, even more so than Yom Kippur. That the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, even without tshuva, even if I do something, God forbid, that Hashem hates. The Gemara says in Pesachim, there are three things Hashem hates. One of them is a person who's drunk. And that's a mitzvah on Purim. How could it be a mitzvah out of something that God hates? But the answer is the love that we feel on Purim, the kapar of Purim, doesn't mean, God forbid, we do averus on Purim. God forbid. But we can even do something that Hashem usually hates and turn it into a mitzvah. Because on Yom Kippur, you need Dama Kippurim. But the second achas b'shana, yechaper alav kodesh kadashim. It's the holy of holies, the holiest of all. The Nesiv HaShalom explains, the Slonim Rebbe explains, achas b'shana, there's one day of the year, which is a time where we feel the intense yira of Hashem, that's Yom Kippur. But then there's an achas b'shana, which is a time of what? Of tshuva me'av. Tshuva me'av. The Jewish people re-accept the Torah on Purim out of a love, Rashi says. Me'av as hanes. It's kulo ahava. Yom Kippur has an element of fear. It's also a very special day. But there's something frightful about Yom Kippur. Purim, a Jew feels free, a Jew feels simchadik, a Jew feels a tshuva that comes about in a very strange kind of way. Even without making the effort, says the Rishner. There's an itzumo shayom, there's something automatically built into the day. There's an tshuva me'ava of Purim, says the Slonim Rebbe, and there's a tshuva me'yira of Yom Kippur. What's bigger, ava or yira? In general, what's bigger, ava or yira? So we have a rule, the Ramban says, asay dochalos asay. It's a rule. A mitzvah saseh overpowers a lo saseh. The Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash, every mitzvah saseh is rooted in ava. Every mitzvah lo saseh is rooted in yira. Aseh docha lo saseh, in other words, ava overpowers yira. So of the two achas bishanas found in our pasuk, if I were to ask you, which is the greater achas bishana? The achas bishana of Yom Kippur? Or the achas bishana of Purim, which is tshuva me'ava? The answer should be to us that Purim is the greatest. Yom Kippur is only Yom Kippur. It wants to be like Purim, but it's not the real thing. If you want a proof to this idea, I'll bring you a proof. We'll take it to the science lab. We'll do a little analysis. The gematria of Achas B'Shana is exactly gematria of Tshuva Me'ava. So the Achas B'Shana of Tshuva Me'ava, of Yom Kippur, of Purim, I'm sorry, is even greater than the Achas B'Shana of Yom Kippur. The Pasuk says about the second Achas B'Shana, Kodesh Kadashim Hu LaHashem. The Svarim say, Kodesh Kadashim Hu LaHashem, Purim. Kodesh Kadashim, again, in a strange kind of way. Kodesh Kadashim Hu LaHashem. The Svarim say, is Gematria, Kayamim Asher Nachu Behem HaYehudim E'oiveyim. That this is Kodesh Kadashim. This is it. Purim is the ultimate. And therefore, says the Sfas Emes, if on Yom Kippur one person gets to go into the Kodesh Kadashim, writes the Sfas Emes in his commentary on Purim, in his insights into Purim, he says, when it comes to Yom Kippur, al yavo b'chol eis, not everyone's allowed in. And you can't come whenever you want, only on Yom Kippur, special invitation. On Purim, avo el melech sholo kedas. I'm not invited. I go in. The Sfas Emes says, b'makom she'ein reshayin lavo b'chol eis. On Purim, we barge our way in. We don't wait for the Kohen Gadol at the right time, the perfect situation. The Sfas Emes says, with fasting and everything else that goes into Yom Kippur, Purim, we just barge our way in. We come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Purim, whatever we want, we just go. There's an ava that a Jew feels on Purim, where every Jew becomes the Kohen Gadol. The Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of a Rebbe, says, "Upurim yachol kol ish mi Yisrael la'asig ha'kedusha zos." On Yom Kippur, only the Kohen Gadol gets that level of kedusha. But on Purim, every single Jew gets to go lefnai v'lefnim, gets to go into the inner chambers. Esther's hesitation, but she pushed her way in, and that's what we all feel on the Yom Tov of Purim. That's the last pasuk in the parsha. Many, many ramazim, many, many hints in the svarim to the Yom Tov of Purim. But let's talk more broadly. Let's talk about the last topic in the parsha. Shemos Perek Lamed, the last topic in the Parsha, is the Mizbeach HaKetoros. The Mizbeach HaKetoros, which will be used to offer the sweet-smelling Ketoros to a Kodesh Baruch Hu twice a day. Of course, on Yom Kippur, the Ketoros has a special role. The Kohen Gadol goes into Kodesh Kedoshim with the Ketoros. What's the idea of the Ketoros? And let's ask a question that many, many people ask. What was last week's Parsha about? Last week's Parsha was all about the Kelim and the building of the Mishkan. Right? Last week's Parsha has the Aron. Last week's Parsha has the Kaporas, the cover of the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the covers of the Mishkan, the walls, the Paroches. Everything is in last week's Parsha. The outer Mizbeach. All about the things of the Mishkan, the Kelim of the Mishkan. All of a sudden, you come to Parsha's Tetzaveh, and you start reading through, and now it's talking about a new topic, talking about the clothing of the Kohen. Okay, makes sense. And then all of a sudden, at the very end of the Parsha, the last topic in our Parsha, which will take us into Purim, is about what? The Mizbeach HaKetoros. And everyone's trying to figure out, how did the Mizbeach HaKetoros get lost? How did the Mizbeach HaKetoros end up at the end of Parsha Tetzaveh? Everything else was in Truma. The Aron, the Kapores, the Menorah, the Shulchan, everything's over there, the outer Mizbeach. How did the inner Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaKetoros, how did it end up at the end of Parsha Tetzaveh? It's lost, it's out of place. It wandered out of Truma and ended up somehow at the very end of Parsha Tetzaveh. Completely out of place. And it's even stranger because if you look in Vayakel, when it describes all the Kalim and actually everything taking place, it puts it back in place. It puts it with the rest of the Kalim. It talks about the Menorah, it talks about the Shulchan, it talks about the Mizbeach Hazav, it talks about the Mizbeach HaKetoros. So what happened in Parsha Tetzaveh, and the Ramban in this week's Parsha already asked the question, how did the Mizbeach HaKetoros get lost? He named Mizbeach HaKetoros. I'm reading you the words of the Ramban. The Ramban says, Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, the last section of our Parsha. Beginning from the beginning of Perek Lamed, he named Mizbeach HaKetoros min haKelim haPnimim hayu. Nachmanides says the Mizbeach HaKetoros is one of the Kelim that goes on the inside, like the Menorah, like the Shulchan. Roi shiyas kireno im haShulchan vaMenorah shu munach imahem. What's it doing over here? How did it get into Parshas Tetzaveh? And he says again, Parshas VaYakel, it gets back into place. So what's the story with the Mizbeach HaKetoros? So obviously, to figure out the Mizbeach HaKetoros, we have to understand what Ketoros is about. What's Ketoros? What is the Ketoros? Ketoros is a mixture of different spices. What's the lesson of the Ketoros? What's the Ketoros all about? The Rambam in the Morah Nevuchim says something that got a lot of people upset. And you'll see why. The Rambam writes in the Morah Nevuchim, when the Rambam tries to explain everything in a very rational fashion, the Rambam writes, the Ketoros is air freshener. Really, that's what he writes. The Beis HaMikdash smells bad sometimes. A lot of blood, a lot of guts, dead animals. Yeah, a hot day in the sun, sweaty Kohanim, I don't know. It smells bad in the Beis HaMikdash. So to make sure it doesn't smell bad, we use Ketoros to keep it smelling good. Rabbeinu Bachai, in his commentary in Parshas Tetzaveh, goes wild. Roi l'chol maskil laharchik das haram. Any intelligent person should distance himself from the position of Maimonides. Shekosa b'zeh b'tamei ha-mitzvos, it's a place where we're chopping up animals. And you're washing out the innards of the animals. To remove the foul smell, we have something called Ketoros. And that reach will be tov umizgaber va'ole v'makomahu. It'll smell good in that place. Says Rabbeinu Bachai in his commentary on the Chumash, God forbid to think such a thing. God forbid to attribute the secretive, mystical Ketoros that the Torah commands us, that a person who tries to mimic the Ketoros, you try to make your own Ketoros, forget offering it, just compounding it, just mixing these spices, chayiv kares. This is serious stuff. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, it can't be. There's no way. There's no way to say that such a thing is air freshener in the Beis HaMikdash. God forbid, chas v'shalom, to say tam hachalush hazeh, this weak explanation. Very strong. The Ketoros actually is not only not air freshener, it's actually the greatest of the karbanos. The most lofty thing that we do in the Beis HaMikdash, the Zohar writes in Parshas Vayakel, listen to the words of the Zohar, chaviva ihu uvda de Ketoros, how precious, chaviv, how precious is the Ketoros, duhu yakir v'chaviv kamei kutshabrichu. It is precious and beloved before Hashem. Yasser mikol palchanin ve'usim. Ve'uvdin da'alma. It's more desirable than any tefillah, than any other action, than any other expression of love. V'chol inon karvanin, dahavu avidin Yisrael, all of the karbanos that are offered by Klal Yisrael, lav inon chashivin kekatoros, are not as desirable, as not as precious, as not as secretive in the relationship between God and the Jewish people as the katoros. It's the most mystical thing of all. So God forbid to attribute the katoros to some weak explanation like the Rambam offered, says Rabbeinu Bachai. In the 1400s, there was an interesting Jew who wrote a commentary on Chumash called the Tzror HaMor. The Tzror HaMor was of Avram Saba. He lived in Spain. During the Spanish expulsion, he moved to Portugal. His granddaughter was the wife of the Beis Yosef, of Rav Yosef Kaya. His name was Rav Avram Saba, the Tzror HaMor. Very interesting commentary on Chumash. He writes in this week's Parsha, again, explaining a little bit about our question. We have a lot more work to do, but explaining a little bit how the Mizbeach HaKetores ended up in Parshas Tetzaveh. Hinei chosom maleches hamishkan b'mizbeach HaKetores. The Torah completes, the end of Tetzaveh, it completes the story of the Mishkan with the Mizbeach HaKetores. Why? Lefi shehu hakli hayoser nivcha. Because it is the most desirable of all of the kelim. And he uses a beautiful lashon. He says, it's mechaper, it gives wealth to Klal Yisrael, it gives simcha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says, Shemenu Ketores Yismach Lev, Yisamach Lev, Utchilas HaMachshava, Sof HaMaisa. Utchilas HaMachshava, Hashem's original intention, is the last thing that's, like we say in Lechadodi. Yeah? That it's the sort of the reverse. Tchilas HaMachshava was the original intent, but it's the last thing to emerge. Right? Like Shabbos. Shabbos is Hashem's original intent, and it's the last day of the week. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu always had his eye on the Mizbeach HaKetores. From the beginning, this was Hashem's plan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he signs off, so to speak. The last thing is the Mizbeach HaKetores. Returning to Rabbeinu Bachaya, when he offers his own explanation of the Ketores, he says, Kam chaviv HaKetores, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How precious is the Ketores before Hashem. Shenasa Mishkan, v'chol kelav, v'shachar es HaKarbanos, v'arach es HaMizbeach. We made Karbanos, we built the Mishkan, we did everything. V'sidr hashulchan v'amenorah, we prepared everything. V'lo yarda shechina ad she'ekrivu haketores. What made the Mishkan, the place of Hashem's presence, v'shachanti b'socham? The shechina came down with what? With the offering of the ketores. So the ketores is a big thing in Klal Yisrael. The Zohar says it's the best, it's the biggest. It's the biggest creation of things that we offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest offering that we possibly have. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original intention. For some reason, it was left till the end. What does any of this have to do with Purim, Chodesh Adar? Well, if the Ketores is the last thing, well, Chodesh Adar is also the last thing. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, go through the calendar. Adar is the last month. Mizbeach HaKetores is the last kli. Somehow, it seems a little bit chutz l'machana, got separated from the rest of the kelim in Parshas Truma. By Vayakul, it finds its way back. But something strange is going on here. Chodesh Adar is somehow deeply connected to an end. The way the Ketores is somehow the end. Again, like the Tzror HaMor told us. It was the original Machshava, but it was the Sof HaMaisa. In some type of strange way. What's it doing, Chutz L'machana? What's going on here? So to understand a little bit further, we have to understand, again, the 11 spices of the Ketores. If I were to ask you to pick a number that's a holy number, so you might say a lot of things. I was teaching at Heichal HaTorah before this. I was sitting with a couple of boys. We're talking about a lot of different Purim things. I started to mention some of the points I was going to share with you tonight. And I said, if you had to pick a holy number, what's a holy number? 613, one kid said. 13, bar mitzvah. One kid who, his father's a local rabbi in town, said 770, Lubavitch headquarters. I said, I was very impressed. I was very proud of him for saying that. Yeah, what's a holy number? 10 is a holy number. 10 is a holy, the most simple holy number is 10. The Chazal say, in Halacha, a davar shebe kedusha. You want to say Baruch Hu, you need 10. A davar shebe kedusha. You want to say Kaddish, a davar shebe kedusha, you need 10. Kedusha, you need 10. A davar shebe kedusha. Kedusha requires 10. But the Svarim tell us, what's an unholy number? What's a very negative number? Already hinted to in the Sefer Yetzirah. There are 10 Sviros, there aren't 9, and there aren't 11. 11 is a very unholy number. 10 is a number of Kedusha. 11 in the Svarim is a number of Tumah. Where do we see such a thing? Last week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, the Vilna Gaon in the Sefer Aderes Eliyahu gives several examples of 11 being a negative number. You have the 11 Alufei Esav, right, the chiefs of Esav, the princes of Esav, which find their way into the end of Parshas B'Shalach. You have the 11 curses. In Parshas Kisavo, the Jews are standing on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. There are 11 curses that are issued. Arur. 11, very negative. Esav's power, the curses. The Vilna Gaon says, you have to think about it a little bit, he says, when the Mishkan's being built, one of the layers of the curtain is made up of 11 Urios Ezim, of black goat's hair. And an Ez, a goat, has a certain negative connotation, Sar La Azazel. There's what to think about there. 11 is a negative number. The Vilna Gaon gives numerous examples. Parshas Devarim. I don't think the Vilna Gaon brings this example. Kedushas Levi comments on this in Parshas Devarim. It says the Jewish people, Achad Asar Yom Mechorev, we were 11 days away, and then things got really bad. We were 11 days away, and all of a sudden we ended up spending 40 years in the Midbar. 11 is a scary number for Jews. 11 is not a positive number. Rav Huttner in the Pachad Yitzchok on Purim, in the second piece, he talks about the four exiles in Jewish history, and he talks about the seven nations of Israel, who we try to conquer on our way to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't talk about 4 plus 7 being 11, but certainly he talks about, again, the four exiles and the seven nations. Again, 11 enemies of Klal Yisrael. In fact, if you even take the number Yud Aleph, I thought of this a couple of years ago, and then I saw the Imre Noam actually says this. If you spell out Yud Aleph, Yud Vav Dalet, Yud Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei. If you spell out Yud Aleph, the Imre Noam from Jikov says, it's Gematria 131, which is the name of the Yitzhar. The name of the Yitzhar is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, 131. So Yud Aleph is the domain of the Sitra Achra, right, of the Samach Mem, of the Yitzhar, the Satan, whatever you want to call him. It's a bad number for the Jewish people. The Ketores is made up of 11 spices. And of those 11 spices, 10 of them are Gevaldik. They're beautiful, sweet-smelling spices. But there's one spice that has a very foul smell. What's the name of the spice that for some strange reason gets thrown in? The 10? 10 is holy. 11? What's this 11th spice? This bad-smelling spice. Chazal say it's called, so the Torah tells us, it's called Chelbina. Chelbina is a bad-smelling spice. 10 very fine, sweet-smelling spices, and an 11th spice that seems to ruin everything. Says the Gemara in Krisos, what do you need Chelbina for? We had 10 nice-smelling spices. Ketores, the highest offering to God. What do you need to mix in an 11th spice, especially one that smells so foul? Says the Gemara in Krisos, it comes to teach us, Kol Tanis, She'ein Ba, Miposhe Yisrael, Ein Atanis. If you have a fast day, and only the tzaddikim are fasting, Esther had a big fast. Leich Chinos Kol Ayehudim. That's a good fast. If you have a fast day, that only the righteous people are fasting, but the sinners are not joining in the fast, that's not a good fast. Why? Sha'arei. Chelbana Recha Ra. Chelbana has a foul smell. Uman HaKasuv Im Samamani Ketores. And yet the Torah counts it as one of the spices. So when Klal Yisrael tried to do tshuva, right, we need the Poshei Yisrael, we need the sinners of Israel to join in us. Not just the Gedolei Hador, the Tzaddikim, the righteous men and women should fast. No, everyone needs to join in. The same way in the Ketores, you want to give the best offering to God, you have to bring who in? You have to make sure that the Chelbana comes along, that it gets mixed in. And what happens when the Chelbana gets mixed in? What happens when the Chelbana gets mixed in? It smells good. The irony is that the Chelbana doesn't ruin the mix. The Chelbana itself is transformed by the other 10, but more than that, the Chelbana has a positive hashpah, so to speak, on the 10. That all 11 end up smelling good, and the 10 smell better than they would smell without the foul-smelling Chelbana. And therefore, the message of the Ketores is that if you take someone who's outside and you bring them in, you take someone who's not independently worthy or smells good or producing for the Rabbonu Shel Olam and you mix them in, Leich Kanos Kol HaYehudim, and gather all the Jewish people together. Right? It's not enough for Esther to fast before she goes to Achashverosh. You gather everyone in, and all of a sudden there's a transformation that takes place. The Mizbeach HaKetores, therefore, is almost, you could say, it's a funny image, but while all the other Kalim are sitting in the Mishkan, the Mizbeach HaKetores walks out of Parshas Truma, walks all the way across Parshas Tetzaveh, almost to the edge of Kisisa. It's going to talk about the Egel, and by the way, the Ketores has something to do with the Kapara for the Egel. The Mizbeach HaKetores wanders off to do Kira, to do outreach. The Mizbeach HaKetores says, I can teach you that if you're not so good, just come mix in. If you join us, you'll see, you'll be transformed. There'll be a hashpah that takes place. Join the Mizbeach HaKetores. You'll see. You don't have to stay on yourself on the outside. Don't sit out there. Amalek's going to get you. Come, join in. Pull close, and you'll see that you'll be transformed. What's so amazing to me is that if you look at the hero and the heroine of the Purim story, they are Ketores. The Gemara says in Chulin, Kof Lamed Tes, Mordechai min HaTorah minayin. Where is Mordechai hinted to in the Torah? And how does the Gemara answer that question? Chulin Kuflam et Tesamud Beis. Nechsiv Mar Dror. That's the first of the spices. Va'ata kach lecha b'samim rosh. Take the best of spices. Myrrh. Pure myrrh. Mor Dror. Says the Gemara. Mor Dror mitargaminan mira dachya. Mordechai. Sounds like Mordechai. So Mordechai is the best spice of the Ketores. What's Esther's real name? Hadassah. What do we know about Hadassah? The Esrog has a good taste and a good smell. What do we know about the Hadassim? The Hadassim are known for their good smell. So Mordechai and Hadassah, they themselves are Ketores. They have that beautiful sweet scent. They're the righteous people who are going to go out and bring in the Chelben of Jews to make sure that they also have a place on Purim. That they also are able to survive from the grasp of Amalek. And that's how we bring Mashiach. When we get all the Jews together, Purim has many messianic themes to it. When we can bring all of Klal Yisrael together and pull everyone in, then you can bring the Geula. Mashiach is described in the Navi as having an unbelievable chush hareach. Mashiach, Rabbi Nachman has the Torah about this in the beginning of Likutei Moran. Mashiach has an unbelievable sense of smell. Mashiach can smell things, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and determine the righteousness of things. To tell you can smell an animal and tell you if it's kosher or not. Mashiach can smell a person and tell you if he's an honest person or not. Mashiach has an unbelievable smell. If you go back to Gan Eden, and you look at what went wrong with the original sin, the Chet Eitz Hadas, Adam and Chava, they saw the tree. It says, the first thing Chava saw it, and it was pleasing to her eyes. She listened to the Nachash, two senses down. She touched the tree, the Nachash forced her to touch the tree, three senses down. She tasted, four senses. Which sense of the five senses was not involved in the original sin of mankind? The Chush HaReach, the sense of smell. And that's why the Gemara says, do you even make a bracha when you smell something? It's so pure. Kol ha-nishama tal kol ka. When you smell something, it goes straight to your neshama. Because when Adam and Chava sinned, their nose wasn't involved. The reyach wasn't involved. So you come to the final battle against the Malik. We're trying to finish off a Malik. Haman's starting up with us again. We're trying to push towards the Geula. Chayisol are trying to build Bayasheni, which they were hoping in their time would be the Geula Shlema. And Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Hadassah. Names for Besamim. They're trying to gather together the Jews. They're trying to get back to Gan Eden, the part that was still pure, the part that remains pure at all times. And Amalek is trying to finish us off once and for all. Who does Amalek like to attack? Let's try to understand a little deeper. Who does Amalek attack? Who are they out to get? We're going to read Parshas Zachor of the Shabbos. It's a mitzvah da'araisa. It's important to listen to this laning. It's the most important laning of the year. Every time we read the Torah, it's only derabanan. This is a kriyas ha-Torah mi da'araisa, min ha-Torah. Zachor es asher asah lecha Amalek baderech betzeischem Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you on the road when you left Egypt. Asher karcha baderech, they happened upon you on the road. Vayizanev becha kol hanechashalim acherecha. And who did they target? Who is Amalek out to get? They're out to get the weaklings. The weak Jews. Who are the weak Jews? Who are these weak Jews? Says the Medrash Tanchuma, fascinating thing. Sad thing, but a fascinating thing. Rabbanan Amri, who are these weak Jews? Shevet Dan, Shapaltu Ha'anan, Shevet Dan, who got kicked out, Chutz L'machana, like the Mizbeach HaKetores at the edge of Parshas Tetzav, separated from the rest of the Kalim. Shevet Dan, they got kicked out of the Anane HaKavod. I remember, I think I was in fourth grade, we had a substitute teacher, and all the kids were being silly in class, and somehow I became the carbon. And I remember going to the principal, we were living in Philadelphia at the time, to this day, I don't think I ever had a pachad like that in my life. And he was a nice man, the principal. But I remember him being so, I begged the substitute, give me another chance, it wasn't me, it was my friend. Nope, I became the carbon that day. And I went to the principal's office, and there was such a pachad. I wasn't kicked out of school, I wasn't even suspended. The principal sat me down, he said, what happened? Da-da-da. You know, maybe I cried a little, I don't know. And I went back to class. A kid gets suspended from school, that's pretty serious. A kid gets expelled from school, it's very serious. What does it mean for a Shevet to get expelled from the Anane HaKavod? That's pretty serious. What does Shevet Dan do? In the hierarchy of Shvatim, Yehuda is the start, and Dan is the bottom. Throughout history, Dan's always getting in trouble. Last ones to get a portion of Eretz Yisrael, they're the last of the last. Just like the Mizbeach HaKetores is the last of the Kalim. Just like Chodesh Adar is the last of the months. Shevet Dan is always the Ma'asif L'chol HaMachnos. They're bringing up the rear. When Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, Yehuda's in the front, Shevet Dan's in the back. Says the Medrash, who is Amalek targeting? They're targeting the righteous people? No. The Nechashalim, the weaklings. Those Jews who are lagging behind. Those Jews who are chutz l'machana. Those Jews who say about themselves, I'm a chelben a Jew. I'm just a chelben a Jew. I'm not such a good Jew. I'm not going to find my way back. Mordechai and Esther, the best of the spices, come to Klal Yisrael and say, just join in. Come, join Klal Yisrael. Lechinos kol ayhudim. Come together. And when you mix yourself in with good people, you know what happens? You become a good person. Chelbana. Teach a chelbana Jew to believe in himself. To think positively about himself. Says the Medrash, Shevet Dan got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod. You know why? It's unfathomable. They had Avodah Zarah. In the Anani HaKavod, being shielded by a Kadosh Baruch Hu's protective clouds, they had Avodah Zarah. Not only in the Anani HaKavod, by the way, when they crossed through the Yam Suf, the Medrash says, they were smuggling Avodah Zarah in their coats. Leaving Mitzrayim with a little Geshkel, a little Avodah Zarah tucked into their coats. Unbelievable. So Shevet Dan gets kicked out, and that's what Malik is targeting. The Baal Turim says, Kol ha-necheshalim acharecha is gematria zeha yeshivto shel Dan. Shevet Dan are the necheshalim, the weakest Jews, the foul-smelling Jews, the Jews who don't seem to be a part of the Tzibur. We can't go into it fully now, but there is a strong connection, right, between the gematria of Shevet Dan and the whole Purim story. Dan is gematria 54. How many times does Haman's name appear in the Megillah? 54 times. How many times does Esther's name appear in the Megillah? 54 times. What are we supposed to do to Amalek? Hashem says, you try your best, I'm going to finish the job. Emcha is Zecher Amalek. Emcha is Gematria 54. Who is Purim? Who is the Gullus of Purim? Paras Umadai, really Madai. Right? Madai is Gematria 54. So Shevet Dan, being Gematria 54, is the target. And who Esther is trying to defend, 54 mentions of Esther in the Megillah, 54 mentions of Haman in the Megillah, 54 letters in the 10 sons of Haman. We're trying so badly to protect Shevet Dan, the weak Jews, the foul-smelling Jews, the chelbana Jews. And the Ketores, the leaders of Ketores, Mordechai, Esther, are out leading the charge, trying to say, come on, pick yourselves back up, come back in. Amalek tries to convince you, you got expelled from Anani HaKavod, trust me, you're not getting back in anytime soon. And we have to try to say to those Jews who don't feel connected, don't be shy, come join us. Don't be embarrassed. It doesn't matter how you've been acting. Come join in. You mix in, you'll see. You'll be transformed. Rabbi Nachman in Likutei Maran, in the second volume, in the 19th piece, he says, the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. 7 times a tzaddik falls, but he picks himself back up. A Jew has to know how to pick himself back up. But you can imagine how Shevet Dan felt when they got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod. That's it. Game over. You're not getting back in. And Amalek says, good, these are the ones. Nechashalim, vayizaneh b'chal. Let's go kill them. Rabbi Nachman says, Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The last letters. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The last letters spell Amalek. That's what Rabbi Nachman of Breslov says. What's the pshat? Because Amalek tells you you're down and just stay down. It's game over. You stink. You're chelben a Jew. You smell terrible. You don't bring nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just give up on yourself. It's all over. And yet the story of the Mizbeach HaKetores, the very last part of Parshas Tetzaveh, which will lead us into the Yom Tov HaPurim, tells us that's not true. It tells us that you could be a foul-smelling spot, you could be number 11, the number of Tumah, the number of Sitra Achra, just join the 10, join the Kedusha, and you'll be transformed. Rav Mordechai of Chernobyl, in the Sefer Likutei Torah, in the section on Purim, says something very interesting. He says, Hinei yesh yud aleph arurim b'Torah. Like we said, 11 is a bad number. There are 11 curses in the Torah. There are 11 Yerios Ezim. There are 11 Alufei Esav. 11 is a number of Tumah. He says, the 11 curses of the Torah, we're trying to emphasize Ketores, that every Jew, even the Rasha, can find his way back. Who's the 11 of the Purim story? Heim Keneged Aseres B'nei Haman. Ve'echad Keneged Haman. Haman and his 10 sons, that's the 11 of Tumah. And he writes such a strong Lashon, and Mordechai of Chernobyl says, the Arizal also has a similar idea, but the Rav Mordechai of Chernobyl says that these 11 curses correspond to Haman and his 10 sons. And they are Kol HaTumos Sheba'olam. All of the Tumah in the world. These people tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. It's the biggest Tumah that Klal Yisrael ever fought against. But we say to Haman, no, not so fast. These Chalbana Jews, we believe in these Chalbana Jews. These Chalbana Jews, Hashem made the world for these Chalbana Jews. Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, Mishnah says in the 4th parak of Sanhedrin, a Jew needs to say the following. And this is a good thing for us to practice saying on Purim. It's hard for us to say it. We either try to say, oh, it's too gaivadik, I can't say that, it's not for me to say such a thing. Or we could say it, but we don't feel that it's really true. Try it on Purim, try to believe it. A person has to say, The Gemara says, "Kol." I'm going to read you the Lashon. It's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Kol echad ve'echad. Every single person. It doesn't say tzaddikim say this. Right? Righteous people say this. No. Kol echad ve'echad. Every Jew needs to say, chayav lomar. Chayav. You're obligated. Not like it's a nice way to mechazik yourself. That's not what it says. It's a chiyav. You have a chiyav to keep Shabbos and eat kosher. You're a chiyav to say this. Chayav lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. A Jew needs to have the confidence to say what? The world was created for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in me. My existence alone is enough to keep the world going. I'm a chelben, a Jew. I'm not. No, believe in yourself. Rav Shmuel Brazil, who used to be a Rav in Far Rockaway, now he lives in as a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He writes in one of his svarim an amazing, amazing remez. Chayav lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. Chayav ches lomar lamed bishvili beis nivra nun ha'olam hey chelben. Chelben. Rosh Yitevos chelben. Chayav lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. A Jew needs to believe. I can find my way back. It doesn't matter what I look like on the outside. I could be dressed up like a hot dog in Purim. It doesn't matter. I have a neshama inside. Sometimes on the outside, I don't smell so good. I've gotten a little dirty from my averos. Find your way back. Chelbana. Megala Muko says that Chelbana is exactly the gematria of Haman. Because it's Zelu, Mazeh. Haman says, ah, I see the weak point of the Jews. The Chelbana Jews. The 11th spice. The Tomei Jew. The Jew is Chutz L'machina. But the Mizbeach HaKetores wanders off to the edge of the camp, to the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, and the Mizbeach HaKetores says, I'm going to find a way to help Jews find their way back. I'm not going to give up. Why? Because like we started with, the last pasuk in the Parsha, about Purim, about a Jew on Purim, Kodesh Kadoshim Hu Lashem. Kodesh Kadoshim. The Medrash says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that when Haman built his gallows, 50 Amos, the Medrash says, based on a pasuk in Malachim, that you know where Haman got the wood from? To look up the medrash yourself. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. It's like, that's mainstream. That's not a funny medrash. Haman got the 50 Amos pole that he wanted to hang Mordechai on from the wood of the Kodesh Kadashim. That's what it says in the medrash. It brings a pasuk in Malachim to show the measurements. The wood of the Kodesh Kadashim. Haman says, I'm going to get the Kodesh Kadashim. I'm going to get that last Jew. But we say, no, that Jew is Kodesh Kadashim. That Jew doesn't look so good on the surface. He is Kodesh Kadashim. And guess what, Haman? You and your 10 sons... Your 10 sons being the 10 spices, you being the chelbana, Haman gematria chelbana. Not only, Haman, are you not going to get us, but what happens when the chelbana mixes in with the Jews? When the bad smelling spice, when Haman starts up with the Klal Yisrael, guess what? The chelbana gets transformed. The Gemara says in Gittin, B'nei banav shel Haman, lamdu Torah b'bnei brak. Haman's kids became from Jews, so from that they learned in B'nei brak. Learning in Panovich. Unbelievable. So Haman, you thought you're the chelbana, right? You thought you're going to get our chelbana. No, there's no such thing. The Jewish people are Kodesh Kadashim. And a Jew is going to find his way back. The last topic in this week's Parsha. Again, that leads us into Purim. The Mizbeach HaKetores. Says the Pasuk, Mizbeach Mikdar Ketores. That's how it refers to it. When it introduces us to the Mizbeach, it calls it the Mizbeach Mikdar Ketores. Rav Moshe Wolfson, 18 years ago, who gives lots of gematrias, very deep secrets of the Torah, Rav Wolfson says, Mizbeach Mikdar Ketores. It's exactly gematria v'nahafachu asher yishlatu ha'yehudim. Everything's going to get turned around, and the Jews are going to be sholeit on our enemies. Mizbeach miktar ketores. Don't ever give up on a Jew. And that's why the mizbeach ketores at the edge of Parshas Tetzaveh. It didn't want to be part of Truma. It didn't want to just sit back and say whatever. Those Jews got kicked out. Amalek will get them. Whatever happens, happens. No, bring them back in. Leichinos kol ha'yehudim. Tell that mizbeach. Tell that chelbana that you believe in him. Join the ketores, and you'll see that you'll be transformed. And we can't do it without you. A tanis without, like Gemara and Krista said, a tanis without Poshe Yisrael is not a tanis. So I'll just end with an amazing story, and then we'll dive Maharv. Rav Yosef Shalom Kahaneman, the Panovich Rav, once found himself in Rome. This is not the famous story with the Panovich Rav. There's another story. He was in the airport in Rome. The Panovich Rav was sitting in the airport in Rome, and there was a Jewish professor, an Israeli Jewish professor, not a dati person, not an observant person, he was also sitting there. Now, when you're sitting in an airport in Rome and there's not too many Jews around, you know, if you spot another Jew, you go over and you say hello. This professor said, felt a little embarrassed. I'm not so frum, not so religious. He wrote this in his memoirs. That's how we know the story. The professor said he walked over to the Panovich Rav and he said, Shalom Aleichem. The Panovich Rav looks at him. This fellow's not wearing a yarmulke. This professor's not wearing a yarmulke. And he says to him, Ah, Aleichem Shalom. I tell you, Yehudi, you're a Jew. So he says, yes. Ah, he gives him a big hug. Panovich Rav gave him a big hug. Never met him before. So nice, so sweet. Panovich Rav. So he says to the Panovich Rav in Hebrew, he says, if you knew how many Averas I did, I promise you, you wouldn't want to hug me. You wouldn't want to give me a hug. If the Rav knew how many Averas I do, the terrible Averas I do, I promise you, you wouldn't want to hug me. And the Panovich Rav said back to him, if you knew how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, despite all the Averas that you did, you wouldn't do so many Averas. And he gave him another hug. That's what we do on Purim. You meet a Jew in the street on Purim, you never met him before, the guy's dressed like a clown, you give him a big hug. Right? You see right past that costume, you say, nah, it doesn't matter what's on the outside. Right? I pull you in. I pull in that chelbana, I mix it in with the rest of the Ketores, and I make a reach nichach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the Zohar called the greatest of all the karbanos. So Amir Tzashem, now we understand the secret of the end of Parshas Tzatzah. What an unbelievable lesson. Mizbeach miktar Ketores, begamatri of an ahafuchu asher yishl to Yehudim. If we could just reach out to all of Klai, so Yechanos call Yehudim, pull everyone in, work together, bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Amir Tzashem, the Ketores will burn bright for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and create a beautiful reach nichach to Hashem. And Amir Tzashem, like we said, that reach of Mashiach, the Mashiach is distinguished by, the reach that remained pure from the beginning of time, will Amir Tzashem express itself in our world and will be zochet to the Gula Shlema, the Merab Yaminon. Shkoyach.